Well, I don't know how many Easter conventions this makes that I've been in, but each one has been exactly what I needed. And I'm sure it has been yours. And you know, when you think about the meeting, and especially if you're going to be participating and preaching in the meeting, I'm sure I speak for all the men who speak or have spoken in the conference. You'll do a lot of praying because you want the mind of the Lord. Because I've learned through the years, and I'm sure many of you have, what God does today, you don't know for how many tomorrows it's going to affect. And you really want to pray that you have the mind of the Lord and you want to be a blessing and be an encouragement. I'll never forget many years ago when we left to go to Dominica. My wife and I had left. We had never been to the island to visit the island. We just left. I knew God had burdened our hearts and called us to go. And so we bought one-way tickets and we left. We got there. We had less than $400 in our pockets and four children. So we couldn't have even bought a canoe to get back if we wanted to leave. But we were there, and I hope this doesn't sound wrong, but I thought God wanted me to win that island by myself. Now, you'd have to understand Dominica. It's a very undeveloped island, and so most of the villages did not have electricity. So we had kerosene lanterns, and I'd go out many, many nights, nearly every night. We'd go out into a village and get a coconut tree or a breadfruit tree or some tree. We could hang up a lantern and have a service. The first year that I was there, I got backslid preaching every day. I hope that doesn't shock you. Because I was going, and to be honest with you, I wasn't seeing any fruit coming. I was preaching and giving, but I wasn't seeing any fruit. And I got backslid. To the point I said I made a mistake. I don't need to be here. I'm going to go back to the States. I sat down and wrote a letter to my pastor. Even made one of them cassette tapes, Don. And I made a tape to my pastor. And I said, Brother J.B., we're coming home. I'll try to get my job back at Ford Motor Company where I worked. And I'll pay the money back. The church helped me. Our church gave us $300 a month. And we left on that. And right before I mailed the tape and the letter, somebody sent me a cassette tape. And there was a man preaching on this tape by the name of George Francis. And for some reason, I went out by myself and took my tape recorder and set it down and turned on the tape recorder, and I began to listen to this man's preaching. And his brother George Francis, he was an evangelist who was from Australia, and he preached a message, So Send I You. Now that was almost 35 years ago. I heard that message. Now obviously we didn't quit. I didn't mail the tape. We didn't go back. We didn't quit. We kept going. But I've often wondered and thought about that tape. You know, when Brother George preached it, and I don't know how many people were there or how many people responded to that message, that tape, that night. And today I still do not know who even mailed me that tape. But God had him preach that message because that was the message I needed to hear for that night. Because if I'd have mailed the cassette tape the next day, I would have probably left because pride had already taken over and we'd have probably left. But what I'm saying is, if God has opened the door, and I listened to Brother Rod preach, and to be honest with you, he poured his soul out in the last message, and I would have been satisfied with just saying, that's it. But Dr. Paisley's the leader of the mission and the conference, and he had asked us to preach. And I said, Lord, then if you want me to preach, then God, if he doesn't say, brother, the Lord's spoken tonight, that's it. And I believe if God had told Dr. Paisley, the Lord has spoken tonight, that's it, that would have been it. And so what I want to do tonight, ask you to open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you know, we've been coming, I want to be an encouragement because, you know, there was one person heard that message Even so send I you 35 years ago, and that one person didn't quit. God knew the message I needed to hear when I needed to hear it. He knew how to speak to me exactly. And I've often wondered when Brother George preached that message and someone else taped it, if anybody even responded that night wherever he preached it. I don't know if he's preaching on the radio or whatever, but that was the message that I needed to hear. And I'm sure the messages that's been preached, and everyone from Friday night through Saturday night, my heart was blessed and challenged. And of course, we were out yesterday and preaching in some different places, and my heart was encouraged by being with the people that we were with. But today, how my own heart has been stirred, and I could have really tonight just listened and absorbed and took in what Brother Rod shared with us and would have been sufficient. But there may be one person here tonight that needs encouraging, and this is what I want to do tonight in the message. You know, if the Lord don't come and the Lord allows, and maybe this sounds like an invitation, but if the Lord allows me to come back, and I hope He does, I love to come to the Easter Convention not to preach, but to be ministered to and have my heart encouraged like it is. But if the Lord does allow and He doesn't come before next Easter Convention, I wonder, will you be here? I wonder if there were some people here last year that are not here tonight. It's not the Lord's taking them home, and it's not really that they're even in a house of God anywhere else tonight. They've just, something has happened. Something has caused them, and I'm sure that in days gone by, and even you that are here tonight, you looked, you marked your calendar, and you looked, and you longed, and you waited, knowing that God was going to visit you. But you and I do not know what we're going to face this coming year, but we need to be encouraged along life's way. And I'm glad for the messages that I've heard down through the years, and so timely that God would have me in the place that I needed to be and had the man preaching the message that I needed to hear at that particular moment. And so I hope tonight, and this is my heart's desire, and as I prayed and ask the Lord what I'd have to preach, I just want to be an encouragement tonight. And I want to read one verse in 2 Timothy 2:13. We'll have a prayer, and then we will just share with you tonight some thoughts that we have to leave with you for the next few moments that I trust it'll just be an encouragement to you, maybe in the days to come or maybe tonight. Maybe you're sitting where I was sitting that night that I listened to that tape. And it'll be an encouragement to you. Listen to verse 13 of 2 Timothy 2. It said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, and he cannot deny himself. Isn't that a tremendous statement? Father, we pray tonight as we look at some scriptures. And Lord, those of us that have been here for the meetings, that's been able to be here, our hearts are encouraged. And Lord, there's something inside of us that says we want to keep on keeping on for Jesus. We don't want to find a way that we can slow down. We don't want to find a way that we can even, Lord, quit in any way. That's not in our heart tonight, but there may be someone here, or maybe that'll be listening over the internet, that's maybe there's a servant of the Lord and they're almost ready to quit. It happens to us. And I pray tonight that the next few moments, the words that we may speak, that we believe that you've laid on our hearts, would be that which would be an encouragement to your people. Maybe to a servant of the Lord Father, maybe a Sunday school teacher, or maybe one who just knocks on doors, or those who preaches in the streets, or maybe those who carry the burden of the pastorate and all the burden of the heart, of the hearts of their people they carry with them. And Lord, they're there at that point. But help us to realize tonight, our Father, and be encouraged in the things that we will learn tonight or see afresh and anew. Not learn something new, but see afresh and anew. And I'm glad that we've got a God that cannot deny himself and who he is. And help us to see just a small glimpse again tonight these truths, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You know, all of us have heard messages that are encouraging. I remember the first time I heard a message on nothing's impossible with God. And those messages can stir you up, and they should. There are times we need messages of encouragement and message of that stirs our heart and trusting in our God. I heard the story one time of a Sunday school teacher who had been teaching on the character of God and labored much on the omnipotent of God. And she asked the class, is there anything that God can't do? Thinking that the young people, the boys and girls, would say there's nothing God can't do. The little boy raised his hand and he said, I heard my mom and dad arguing the other night, and Daddy said even God can't please everybody. And sometimes that may sound a little bit true, but I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, that when we think of God, I'm thinking of his unlimited power and thinking of his unquestionable authority. He's God. And besides him, there is none else. Amen? And I'm glad that we know that. And here in this verse, verse 13, again, may I read to the last statement. It says, or the whole verse, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, and he cannot deny himself. If we believe not, yet he is faithful. And this is the heart of the substance, I believe, that the Apostle Paul was writing this young preacher, Timothy. Paul, no doubt, knowing that his time of departure was near at hand, knowing what Timothy was going to face in the ministry, and there are things that you and I will face in the ministry and in the work of the Lord. I remember the first time I came here and got to meet Dr. Paisley personally and spent a little time with him, and I say this all the time at our church, and Dr. Paisley said, Brother, he said, if you're not building or battling, you're compromised or dead. And you know, that's true. That's really true. I mean, life is, we're going to be building and battling. It's like Nehemiah. We'll have a sword in one hand and a trowel in another. We're building and battling. And here is Timothy, here is these words. And he said, even if we believe not, yet God, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Aren't you glad that God's faithfulness doesn't depend upon our faithfulness? Amen. And you look back in your life, and sometimes people say, oh, if we could just get God's people faithful, I believe God would listen and God would hear and God would remove. But may I say to you, God's faithfulness does not depend on our faithfulness. But I want to draw your attention to this thought. He cannot deny himself. Now think about that in this concept. Have you ever heard somebody say, they'd see a little girl that looked like their mother, or see a little boy look like his dad, or he walked like his dad and talked like his dad, and they'll say, boy, there's one thing about it. He can't deny that. And did you know that's what this verse is saying? When it's talking about the character of God, God says, that's me. I cannot deny myself. I am faithful. That's me. That's encouraging. And what I want to do for a few moments is remind us, dear saint of God and soldier of the cross, that we have a God that is faithful. We have a God that is trustworthy. We have a God who is true. And we're going to look at some things about God says, that's me. I can't deny that. That's who I am. Thank God for that. Turn your Bible, if you would, to the book of Malachi just for a moment. And I want us to look at some truths here, and then we'll go back to Titus in just a few moments. And we're going to look at some things that are revealed that God cannot deny himself. This is who he is, and we need to be reminded of it. This is him, and this is who he is, and we can trust him, and he cannot deny who he is. Notice Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. There's a lot of things in this, and we'll just speak about it briefly, but he said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. May I say it to you this afternoon that, first of all, God is the immutability of God. He cannot change. Isn't that great truth? Isn't that a comforting truth? We've got a God. We live in a world that's changing. People change. How many people have you known that through life, as you've known them and their ministry, they changed? Places change, powers change, but thank God, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, He changeth not. Isn't that comforting? I'm glad that we, as the book that we preach and the truths that we have in this book, what it simply means is God cannot be altered. God cannot be changed. He's who He is. And notice what He said, I am the Lord. All in the word Lord, is all of the letters are in capital. It's simply saying He is Jehovah. He is the self-existing one. Every one of us in this room, our existence depends upon God and the Creator and who He is. But God depends on no one. Amen. Oh, thank God, He is the unchangeable one. And God depends on no one. May I say unto you, He changes not. There's no alteration in truth. Aren't you glad the truth that you begin to preach, and I'm speaking tonight, I'm making this personal reference to men who've been in the ministry for years. Dr. Paisley, I think, started preaching when he was around 16 years of age, right, Doctor?
Right.
And the truth that he preached at 16 years of age and the truth that he preached this afternoon at the age of 80, almost 82, he can say this truth hadn't changed because God can't change. Amen. Now he might have expounded it in greater depth in the simplicity of the profoundness of the truth that he shared with us, but the truth hadn't changed. Now don't you worry about people. Brother Kyle was bringing out some messages and making some personal reference this morning about Benny Hinn. I heard him make this statement one time. He got up in his meeting and he said, you don't need your Bibles tonight. For the truth you're going to get tonight is fresh. From God to me to you. Now, if people had any discernment, they'd have got up and walked out of that building. Because the truth that we have about God and the truth that we have, He changeth not. We don't have to worry about the truth that we preach and the truth that we believe and the truth that we take to the world ever changing because God said, that's me. I cannot deny it. I changeth not. Not only is God not changeable, cannot be altered in truth, but I'm going to tell you, I'm glad the mutability of God in time, I'm glad that He doesn't change. What do you mean by that, preacher? In other words, God says, look back through the past. Look back through history. That's who I was. Look at me now. That's who I am. I changeth not. And that gives us confidence and assurance to look into the eternal future and say, the God that we serve, He changeth not. He'll never change. He said, I am He. I was what I was in the past. I am what I am now, and I'll not change for the future. That brings great comfort to my heart. God says, I changeth not. Not only is God, His immutability, He doesn't change in truth, He doesn't change in time, but may I say unto you, He doesn't change in troubles. Notice what He said again in that verse, in verse 6 of chapter 3 of the book of Malachi. I am the Lord, I changeth not. Therefore, now what's the therefore, therefore? I'm sure you've been taught that. Referring back to what he just said. In this case, I am the Lord, I changeth not. Ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. May I say unto you, troubles don't change who God is. And I'm talking about troubles in your life and mine, not his. To be honest with you, the only trouble God probably has is us. But troubles don't change God. Sometimes we feel like the troubles that we're having and that we're facing will do us in. And I don't know who I'm speaking to here tonight, but maybe you're facing something that you've never had to face before. And it's hard. The troubles are hard and the troubles are tough, but child of God, take heart, because God doesn't change and troubles doesn't change God. If there's ever been a manifestation, a visible proof that God is able to preserve His people through troubles, it's the sons of Jacob. Look at Israel. Look at Israel. And He says to them, you may be in trouble, but if you ever faced anything that I couldn't deliver you from, He says to Jacob's children, when you were in Egypt bondage, did I not deliver you? When you faced the Red Sea and the Egyptian armies behind you, did I not part the sea? He says to the Hebrew children, when you were in the fire, was I not able to deliver you? And I want to tell you, God hadn't changed. Many times troubles will come in our life and trials will come in our life and tests will come in our life and we'll almost be ready to quit. But here we find this eternal promise. Troubles doesn't change God. He's still able to deliver. Amen. I think John Newton said it like this in the verse 3 of Amazing Grace. He said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. If you know that's true, say amen. 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 You're all awake.
Amen. We're going to stay awake.
Amen, brother. Amen. I had a nephew that could sleep with his eyes open. I walked in the house one day. He was about 6 years old. My wife and I went over to her sister's house. Walked in the house and he's sitting there sleeping going. I looked at him. Sound asleep and his eyes wide open. I've learned that, I don't know about Free Presbyterian, not around you that much, but I've learned this, a Baptist can do that. Sleep with their eyes open. So I do something in my church sometimes. I say, when I do this, you say amen. Amen. All right, this crowd's awake. I don't know about you all. And so every once in a while, I'll just test them. And when I do this, and they don't say amen, I'll say, wake up. Let's try it one time. All right, you're with me. Amen. Any Free Presbyterian know how to sleep with your eyes open? No, all right, listen. Listen, God cannot deny Himself. He changeth not. Time doesn't change Him. Troubles doesn't change Him. And His truth changes not. A story was told of Charles Spurgeon went out to visit one of his members out in the country, and he went in the man's yard and he had a windmill there and had a sign on it that said, God is love. And Charles Spurgeon said to the man, that sign shouldn't be there. That says that God's love changes with the wind. He said, no, what that sign says, doesn't matter which way the wind's blowing, God's love doesn't change. All right, you're all awake. I like that. Amen. You cannot deny God's immutability. He changeth not. He cannot be altered. Listen, we believe this world is going to get dark. The darker the night, the brighter the light. And God has placed us here on planet Earth at such a time as this that we would be His light in this dark world. I like that. It's got a certain ring to it. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Titus chapter 1. Listen to this, another truth. Not only does God says, I can't deny that. That's who I am. I don't change. Titus chapter 1. Let me just read verses 1 through 3 and give you a couple of thoughts with this. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. But he hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which he committed unto me according to the commandments of God our Savior. May I say it to you, beloved, when we look at this, we not only see God can't deny his immutability, he cannot change, but God says, the word teaches us that God is reliable. He said, that's me. Thank God we can trust him. Thank God we can rely on him. We live in an age of liars. Would you agree with that? I mean, we got some folks that can lie so good they can take a lie detector's test and deceive the machine. I mean, they're good at it. We used to have presidents get on TV and smile and say, trust me. Figure out who that one was. I mean, parents lie to children, children lie to parents. Sometimes I've had a few preachers lie. But notice what this verse said. God said, I cannot lie, and this was my promise before the world began. Thank God. God is reliable in all of his promises. Amen? And I don't know. Hey, man, I like that. I make a good Baptist out of these folks, brother. Amen.
You could be being a free
Presbyterian. Amen, brother. Well, I tell you what. If the Lord called me over here, I don't know why I'd come and start another church and name it anything else. You folks have got the same witness of the Spirit. We love the same book.
Amen.
I love it. Amen. You know, there's a little boy one time. He was going to give a testimony, a very important case. So the lawyer got him on the stand and he said, son, he said, I'm sure your dad told you what to say before you got on the stand. Is that right? He said, yes, sir. He did. He said, son, what did your dad tell you to say? He said, now, son, that lawyer is going to try to trip you up, so be sure you tell the truth. Amen. And we got a God that cannot lie. We may have some critics and we may have some theologians who have learned how to twist the and tangle God's word, but I want to say unto you that we've got a God that says what he means and means what he says, and every promise in this book is God's and he cannot lie. I'm glad that all the messages that we can preach, we can take this book to the world. I'll never forget when I went to Dominica. We worked with the Carib Indians. We'd never been there. Now, there's a different culture, no matter where you go. And the Caribs, as we have mentioned, I think, in the past, these were the Indians that were in these islands when Columbus discovered them. Now, the Caribs, the word cannibal comes from Caribs. Now, they were not cannibals when we were there. I'm glad they wasn't. They would have had a feast with me. There's a few times I thought they was going to eat me, but they didn't. But anyway, I got there and I thought, dear Lord, I don't know anything about these people. How am I going to reach them? And the Lord didn't say this to me audibly like I'm saying it to you, but he said, what? How did I reach you? I said, the preaching of the word. He said, try it. It still works. And we'd get a little lantern, we'd get up on the hill, they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come to the service where we was at, and so it was up in the bush, we'd get up on the hill, and my wife would go with me, and we'd get up on the hill, there'd be a few huts down there in the valley, and I'd just stand up there and preach. And we did that for about a year, and nobody literally came inside the building. But I just kept preaching and you know what? That was 35 years ago, and there's a church there, and they've started other ministries, and there's a school there. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, let me just share this with you. We were going to build the first building we built out of bamboo. Now where we built the church was about 4 or 5 miles from the closest river. So we had to carry all the rocks and the water from the river up to the village where we were at. And there was a big old rock. It was right in the middle where we was going to build the church. I mean, it was a big rock. Evangelistically speaking, it was about half the size of that piano. Now you said, why'd you say evangelistically? Well, if you saw it, you'd say, well, Brother John, that rock wasn't that big. So anyway, it was a big rock. Well, you see the size I am. Carib Indians are very small. They're very small in stature. So I got this idea. I said, fellas, we're going to bust up this rock. And we're going to use it for the flooring and the foundation of the bamboo church we was going to build. So I got me a 10-pound sledgehammer. And I took that hammer and I rired back and I hit that rock. Now, if you've ever hit a rock about that size with a sledgehammer, you know what happened. That rock hit me back. I mean, everything about me hurt. But my pride said, do it again. So I reared back again, and I hit that rock hard. Now listen, I was only about 28 years old then. And I hit that rock harder than I did the first time. And guess what? That rock hit me back harder than it did the first time. And I softened up a little bit. I said, hey, fellas, you all tried a few licks. And then we come my turn again. We hit that rock about 20 times, and finally a little chip came off of it. And then the Holy Spirit taught me a lesson. He said, that's the way these people are. That's the way the heart of man is. And you know, if we'd kept hitting that rock, we could have broke it apart. But I had a better idea. I got real spiritual. I said, fellas, we're not going to bust up this rock. We're going to save it for a lesson. And literally I did. I rolled it out front. And every time I got discouraged, I'd go out and sit on that rock. And I'd say to myself, you'll bust if I keep hitting you with that hammer. And every time I'd get discouraged, Lord, there's nobody getting saved. Lord, there's nothing happening. And the Holy Spirit just said, keep preaching it. Keep preaching it. This book is truth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What does the world need? The world needs the gospel. But we've got to believe that promise. And may I say unto you, our God is a reliable, and our God keeps all of His promises. Listen, He said, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. The reason we don't have anything in our nets is because we don't go fishing. God told Peter to cast his net out into the sea. And God put the fishes in. He gave him count. He knows how to count to 153. Exactly. The Lord knows what He's doing. What am I saying to you, child of God? Maybe you want to quit. Maybe you want to get discouraged. But I want to say God is reliable in His purposes. He said before the foundation of the world. That's what He said in verse 2. The hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, but promised before the world began. God can't lie. He cannot deny His purpose. He cannot deny His promises. Then may I say unto you, God is also capable to save all that comes to Him. Listen again. Turn over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. There's other things we could say, but let me tell you something. I know you heard about heard about camp meetings over, and they have down in the South, and where Rod come from, Virginia. Have these camp meetings. They go all day long, morning and afternoon and night services. Well, at the end of this camp meeting, 2-week camp meeting, preacher was standing at the back of the old tent, as people were going out, and they're shaking his hand. And this little boy went over and spent 2 weeks with his grandmother. And of course, grandmother went to service every time they had meeting. And so she went out and she said, preacher, this meeting has been so good. I'm just so full. Well, little boy, her grandson was behind her, and he said, how about you, son? He said, yeah, I'm like granny. I've about had a belly full of this too. Well, y'all been good. It's been a long day, and I hope you're full, and I hope you don't have a belly full, but I hope you're full in your spirit. Notice you would in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh
to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In verse 37, and all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. May I say unto you, we've got a God that satisfies in salvation. I remember when I give my life to the Lord, I worked at Ford Motor Company. I'm not proud about the life that I lived before the Lord changed my life, but if you're here today, you know what kind of person you were before the Lord changed you. When I went in, they thought I had religion. Now, I worked at Ford Motor Company, and I worked with men, and all of us were perverts, and we were all depraved in our, not only in our heart, but much in our language. They actually took bets that I wouldn't last a week. Then they took bets that I wouldn't last a month. And then they took bets I wouldn't last 2 months. And I started to put some money on myself because I knew I'd win. And you're not gambling if you win, right? I mean, it's only gambling when you take a chance, right? No, I'm teasing you. But you know what? That was 40 years ago. And there was a man came up to me, one of my bosses. And he said, Daniels, we call each other by last name. He said, Daniels, I don't know what happened to you, but I wish it happened to everybody in this body shop. I said, let me tell you what happened to me. You know, that man stood there and he listened to me that day. And tears ran down his cheeks. And he said, I wish I could have what you have. But he said, I can't have what you have and have the job that I've got. Now, he was wrong on that. And you and I know it, but he couldn't see it. But what I'm saying is, you know why I never went back to the old drinking hole? Because I'm satisfied. You know why the world doesn't, we're not hungry for the world? Because, listen, you're here tonight and you're not saved. And you look at religion from a lost man's eyes and you say, how can that satisfy? That'd be just like the people in the Old Testament that would look at the tabernacle and all they'd see is that old badger skin and they'd say, what in the world is attractive to that place? Oh, but it was what was on the inside. And when the world looks at us, and maybe you're here tonight and you'll say, my goodness, how can these people go to a service all day long? What is it? Listen, he'll satisfy. I had the privilege of leading both our daughter-in-laws to the Lord. We went to Puerto Rico. Our children were all fairly small, and both of our boys married Puerto Rican girls. I had the privilege of leading both of them to the Lord, and both of our daughter-in-laws come from Catholic families. But Sonali, our oldest son's wife, she was a Catholic. And she got saved. She was a teenager. She was finishing up her last year of high school, fixing to go into college. She got saved. She's told me this. She said, Pastor, she said, I went to Catholic church. And she said, that was the boringest hour I ever had in my life. And she said, I'd see people, I didn't know it was Christian, but said, I'd see people, they'd go to church Sunday morning, they'd go to church Sunday night, they'd go to meetings. And she said, I thought, how in the world do they stand it? But she said, this is good. Amen. This is good. You know, she's, of course, been now she's married and works in the ministry. She's there every service. May I say unto you, he satisfies. I'm glad that I can stand here tonight and say, if you're in this room and you don't know the Lord, beloved, may I say, the salvation that he gives us, it satisfies. And then I want to say with the last statement, not only is he capable, he's accessible, but may I say unto you, he is acceptable. What do you mean by that? I'm saying that everybody that comes to him, he accepts. There's no sinner. There's no sin that you could have committed that if you come to him, his blood can cover it. Oh, but you say, you don't know what I've done. And you're right. And if I knew what you'd done, it wouldn't help. It wouldn't change anything. And I don't even need to know. But I'm saying there's no sin that can keep him from wanting you to come.
I'm glad tonight that we can go out and preach. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. He'll accept you tonight. And we say that on the authority of the Word of God. The songwriter had it right when he said, "Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord." And I say this in closing. Maybe you're here tonight and there's something down in your soul. You're not satisfied. Maybe you think you've done something that He wouldn't accept you. But on the authority of God's Word, you come tonight. He's accessible. And that's the promise from God's Word. God bless you.